blessing from our services today.
Amen.
Be using our 101 books this morning. Let's turn to song number 7. We always do anyway, but the song instructs us to stand, so we might as well do so here. Song number 7, the Bible stands.
Church with
Joy. please keep the tellies in prayer. They're going through it.
They're really going through it right now. Brother Craig has got pneumonia. He does have COVID. He called me Friday as well. The funeral is going to be postponed. So we were working on that this week with the passing of his mother-in-law and Miss Kathy Helly, her mom passing away on Tuesday. The funeral is supposed to be this Tuesday, but it's being postponed because of their sickness and going to happen to go to the funeral home and all that with all that will be there for the funeral. So keep them in prayer. I pray you continue to keep Brother June, Sister May in prayer with their recovery from it as well, and as well as with the Covels, keep them in prayer with what they're dealing with the sickness as well. Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 8 this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And the Bible says here, the Lord tells the serpent, he says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he goes on and says unto the woman, he said, Look, the Lord's working himself back up again. He went from Adam to Eve to the serpent. Now he's gone from the serpent to the woman and back up to Adam. And he says in verse 16, Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, that you're long-suffering, and Lord, that you show us great mercy. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you just bless your word, lead, guide, and direct in everything that is said and done. Lord, for this purpose, dear God, that we would draw nigh to thee, and that you would be glorified and magnified in everything that is said and done. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here that the woman is going to have sorrow, multiplied sorrow to her, and in conception. And she'll bring forth children with sorrow. And the Bible says here, the Lord says to her, her desire shall be to her husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right, so the woman's desire will be to her husband. We looked at a little bit last week some statistics that talk about women that have lost their lives while giving birth to children. And not only that, but then also children that die while going through birth. And that brings about great sorrow, heartache, and pain to both the woman and the husband as well, but more so to the mother because she's lost a child. But these things came about because of sin. Eve is in this position now because she's rejected and went against and was disobedient to what the Lord commanded. Okay? God gave the command to the man. And for whatever reason, somehow things got short-circuited, whether willingly or unwillingly, we don't know. But Eve got tricked, she got beguiled by the subtlety of the serpent, and she partook of that fruit that she was not supposed to eat of, and her husband allowed her to do so. I've done a little studying this week, and some things come across my path about the rise of divine feminism. The rise of divine feminism. A doctor, I believe, I forget her name, Elizabeth Kobolt, I believe that was her name, wrote a paper She was a doctor, and she wrote a paper, I think it was back in 2011 or 2011, about the rise of divine femininity or feminism. You know why God set up an order in a home? Is a husband is to provide protection for the wife. You know why you have a pastor in a church? He's to provide and protection and watch for things creeping into the flock that would affect the flock. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you have a shepherd over sheep, so that he protects them, watches over them, looks out for danger and keeps them away from danger in order for them to be able to produce what they need to produce. Now you have two types of sheep. You have a meat sheep and you have sheep that produce fleece or wool for clothing. Sheep have a purpose. Sheep have a purpose. So if you're saved this morning, you have a purpose, either to produce wool or to produce meat. Okay? So are you allowing God to work through you to produce these things? Now, while you're producing these things, there ought to be an under-shepherd, a pastor, who watches out for the flock. Who watches out for the flock. This individual I saw talking about this, the rise of divine feminism and the rise of women today, that they want to have the same voice and be equal to men. And there was this man, I don't know where, he wasn't a saved individual. He was making comments about politics. And he says, we don't know the grounds that we're getting ready to step onto as a society, because as far as history is can tell, there's never been a society like ours who's at the point to where so many women are in leadership roles. There's never been a time like it in history. And this man, he's not saved. He's just talking politics. He says, and I don't know what the result of it will be. I'll tell you what the result of it will be. The bringing in of the Antichrist. Now, some may say, well, Preacher Chris hates women. Absolutely not. Again, you don't know me. But there's a divine order in Scripture of a husband, wife, and children. And it doesn't mean that either one of them is better or worse than the other. But there is authority set up by God. There's authority set up by God. A husband, a man was made to lead. A man was made to lead. I might say this wrong, but correct me if I say it wrong, Mama. There was a situation, I think, you take a situation of preschoolers, 4, 5, or 6-year-olds. And I don't know if this study was correct or not. Babies. To where something, you take little baby girls or little baby boys and you put them in the same room and something loud or something happens. He said automatically that little girls look to the boys and the boys look to wherever the problem came from. It's in it from nature. God put it in there for a woman when all of a sudden something bad happens to look to a man to say, hey, are you going to solve this problem and protect me in this situation? Brethren, I've been in situations before in the military to where things are going not lie, but in training, thank God it was training, to where the woman I was with in a combat situation couldn't carry her rucksack no more and her weapon because she couldn't handle it no more, and I had to grab it for her and run out of the woods with her, me carrying her stuff. I've been in law enforcement positions before. I'm not joking. My partner was about this tall. And I'm not, she was Puerto Rican. She couldn't have been much more than 4 foot. I mean, she was short. They had to push her through the police academy because she kept failing the driving section. So they gave her phone books to sit on while she drove. This is my backup. I'm not being mean. But you go on a traffic stop on the interstate at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, and you're by yourself, and that's my backup. God, men are not better than women, and women aren't better than men, but God has set up an order in Scripture. Don't go out here saying, Brother Chris thinks men are better than women. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But God has set up a structure. And today, it's being completely destroyed. I would say it's basically there. It's basically there. I said this Wednesday night. So I'm going to say it here. I was reading an article that came across my path in the morning call last week about a woman pastor in the area around here. And she said, I'm going to start holding, you know, Bible study classes in tattoo parlors. And I'm looking for any tattoo parlor who will open up its doors so I can come in and we can get tattooed together and we can discuss, you know, what the tattoos mean with each other. And we can discuss that. And maybe we'll slip in a little bit of God there and talk about God a little bit. Because she said people aren't coming to churches no more. Because basically she's saying we need to get away from old white men and that outdated book. I guess I'm in trouble because the more gray I get in my beard, I guess I'll be considered more of an old white man. And I believe that book, so I guess I'm in trouble in her book. But you know what's coming in today? Brethren, the flock of God. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Brethren, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. I was thinking about last night. I was taking my dog for a walk last night. And I got thinking. I said, Lord, Jesus said it's the days of Noah and Lot. And I got thinking about it. How long Noah preached. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And God told Noah, we're going to get to here in a couple, that God told Noah to build an ark. He said, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain and I'm going to destroy the world by water. And Noah preached for over 100 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. Not did he just build that ark. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And guess what? When it come down to that final day, when all... Brethren, you know how deluded you can get in your mind because you don't stay in the scriptures and what the Bible says? A lot of people, they believe what they believe because of some internet YouTube preacher. Or because of some book they got from the Christian bookstore, rather than what does the Bible say? What does the Scriptures say? And not Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or Joel Osteen. How about you get in your Bible and you read your Bible? You know why people have an easier time reading a book by Joel Osteen or an easier time picking up a book by Joyce Meyer? Because it's not going to bring conviction. It's not going to deal with sin. It's going to tell you how wonderful, how good you are, and how much God loves you, and He'll put up with anything in your life. Yeah. Joyce Meyer ain't going to bring you no conviction. She ain't going to tell you about sin. She's out of line. I don't believe a woman ought to be. Brother, if you don't know where I stand, you're going to know this morning. I don't believe in reverend women. No, no, no. God ain't called no woman to preach. God ain't called no woman to preach. And you know what just makes me so upset about it? Is a woman be like, oh, when you don't even, you... Let me ask you this question this morning. Who did that serpent go after? The woman. Why? Because he knows if I can get the woman, I can get everything else. Does that not show you the power that women do have according to God? Well, I can't be a preacher. I can't. Do you realize the golden key that God has given to you as a woman if you fulfill what God... The power that you would have with God and with men if you would just do what God said. What greater honor... Now look, now the Lord says that... He talks about in Corinthians that it's better to... Paul says it's better to abide as he is. And he talks about both men and women that if they can remain unmarried, that's a wonderful gift if a man or a woman can get saved and remain unmarried. And the reason it's such a wonderful gift is Paul says that they can then dedicate their complete and whole life to the Savior and work of Jesus Christ. Both men and women. Amy Carmichael is a perfect example of it. I love reading about Amy Carmichael. I think she was a great woman of God, but Amy Carmichael knew her place and she did great things in it. more so than many men. The courage and the strength and the fortitude of Amy Carmichael, there's few Christian men today that can measure up to what she did. But she knew her place and God used it for His glory and honor. What greater gift if you're a married woman and you have a child? What greater, what more purpose in the world than to bring up a child, either a daughter or a son, to glorify and live for God? What greater honor could there be? To be a CEO of Apple? Are you kidding me? You would put being a CEO of Apple over being a mother? There's no greater call than being a mother. And if you're not married and you don't have children, then there's no greater call than living for God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're missing it today. We got things upside down. We got men wanting to be women. We got women wanting to be men. We got children wanting to be adults. And we got adults wanting to be kids. We're missing it today. There's no greater honor for a woman. And a woman has great, I'm telling you this morning, a woman has great power. Great power. A woman, the influence of a woman, there's no other influence like it. I'm telling you this morning, Sarah with Abraham, take my servant. Bathsheba, David. Delilah, Samson. Brethren, we can go through Eve with Adam. This morning's message, God set up positions within the home. Now, my brothers and sisters, if there's any women here that were in the military or men that were in the military, you have positions. You have a sergeant. You have privates. You have a colonel. You have lieutenants. You have a general. And ultimately, at the top, you have the president of the United States of America. Is any one of those lives in there more valuable than any other? No. They're all precious. If a private right now goes over to Afghanistan or somewhere over there in the Middle East and he loses his life, and the same day he loses his life, a lieutenant who is his boss loses his life, they're not going to go back separately and have different funerals because he was less than him. They're going to be given the same honors. They might even receive the same medals. Because in the eyes of the government, they're equal, yet they're not. Because one had a position of authority, and the other was commanded to follow. Do you see? Do you see this morning? And our society has flipped it upside down. It's flipped it upside down. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or I'm sorry, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The Bible says here, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in a church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only?" Now look, somebody will say, "Well, I don't have a husband, so how should..." Then if there's a woman in here and you're not married or you're a widow and you got a question, go ask my wife and we'll sit down and we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it. You say, "Well, I don't have somebody to represent me." Pray. But I believe men ought to lead. There's a thing of authority in the Bible. There's a thing of authority, and I might try to get some messages together on it, but God puts a premium on authority. God's a God of authority. Now, I'll say this to you this morning. I'm not led to rule and reign, for lack of better words, as I'm allowed to, because over me is God. And I'm accountable to the church. Some will say, "Well, then the pastor can just do what he wants to do." Not if he's trying to follow God, he can't. A wife may say, well, my husband can just do what he wants to do. Well, who's going to tell my, if I don't tell my husband what he needs to hear, who's going to, well, if he's saved, God will. Look, I'm going to give you a little key there to the home. A wife that, to her husband, if he's any type of man, it's going to push him the other direction. So what a wife will say, what should I do then? Pray. Handle yourself correctly and right towards your husband. Pray. And if he's saved, God will ring his bell. Oh, God has his ways of getting men's attention. I've experienced it firsthand. So don't worry thinking, well, he's just going to get away with it. No, he ain't going to get away with it. Brethren, as your pastor, if there's sin in my life, I'm not going to get away with it. I'm not going to get away with it. God will get my attention. And that's what scares me about it, because that's a fear there. Like, if you are sinning, you need to make it right quick, because our God's a consuming fire and he's not going to put up with sin. But the Bible says here that just God's not through all the confusion. He talks about a woman keeping silence in the church. Now, someone go the other way. Well, then I can't sing and I can't do. No, that's not what the Bible's saying here. The Bible's saying that it's not proper for a woman to take a position of authority in the church and say, well, this is what I think. If there's men there to lead and guide and direct, that's the man, that's the pastor and the men of the church to lead and direct there. Now, take your Bible, look over at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. You say this morning, well, preacher, man, you being awful rough on the woman. Well, I ain't got to the men yet. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. A wife is to be in subjection to her own husband, the Bible says, in everything. I will throw a little asterisk in there, though. I don't think the Lord's intending here to sin. Now, if a husband and wife and they're married and the husband is trying to get the wife to sin, she goes with God instead of her husband. You hear me this morning? But as she goes with God instead of what her husband's wanting her to do, she does it with a right attitude. Honey, I just can't do that. Honey, I'm trying to live for God. The Lord just won't allow me to do that. According to scriptures, that's sin. And I'm sorry, honey, I can't do that. You say, well, wow, he just built. If you see a woman act like that, I'd be scared to death to be that man. If I was that man, I'd be scared to death to get in my car and go somewhere. If I was that man and it was raining outside, I'd be scared to death to step outside those doors, lest lightning strike me. If a woman if a wife handled herself that way, it's like, sorry, honey, I just can't. And she was humble and meek about it. I feel bad for that man. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, Likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Why? Because other people are watching. Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Wow. How are they going to be converted? How are they going to notice the conversation of the wife? Verse number 3, number 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. Look at this, even the ornament. This is what a woman ought to be decked with the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You want something? Brethren, What greater honor out of the mouth of the Lord himself? He says here that in the sight of God, this type of attitude, this type of subjection to her husband, this type of walk with God is in his sight of great price. Glory to God for the woman who desires to be a virtuous woman, a godly woman, a submissive woman. Though all of society would rip your eyes out, follow God. You know the song we sing? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Go to God. If I was a woman and I was married, I would memorize these verses. Because I would want to get home to heaven someday and have the Lord look at me and say, the life you lived, that was in my sight, that was of great price. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, which is in the sight of God of great price. But how many ladies today are too worried about verse number 3? Rather than verse number 4. They get all decked up on the outside, but the inside is as rotten bones. They got everything looks good on the outside. The hair's done right. The makeup's put on right. The clothes are right. Everything looks good and wonderful. But yet the hidden man of the heart is corrupt. You see, God looks in at the heart. And God puts a great price on a woman who has a meek and a quiet spirit. Brethren, if you run across a woman who's not meek and does not have a quiet spirit and can't control her mouth, she's not right with God. She's not right with God. So how can you say that? She might be saved. She's not right with God. The Lord says a meek and a quiet spirit. A meek and a quiet spirit. Now back to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to get this last verse in towards us men. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Look what the Bible says here. And it says, and on Adam. He says, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. There it is right there. That's the problem right there. Now, he hearkened unto the voice of his wife, and it brought sin into the world. I don't know what Eve said to him, but she must have said something to him because he listened to her voice. He listened to her voice. I'll say this, brethren. In Christ Jesus, men and women are equal spiritually. I believe a woman can get just as much spiritually out of the scriptures as a man. I believe that a woman can have a spiritual walk with God just as much as a man can have one. I believe she can get spiritual insight. I believe she can get things from God as she reads her Bible. And I say those things because I believe if you have a godly woman, she can provide sometimes, if it's asked by the husband, godly insight. I value my wife's opinions on things. But I know as a husband, ultimately, I'm the one that's going to have to get an account of how things are done. So sometimes I'll ask, what do you think about the situation? What do you think about this right here? What do you think about this? I'm talking about spiritual things. I try to talk to my wife about spiritual things. But we have an understanding that, okay, I got to make the final decision on it. And I might not go with what she said. So I'm not saying here this morning that a woman's just to sit in a house, keep her mouth shut all day, never say nothing, no spirit. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, though, that if a wife is going to give an opinion, if a wife is going to say something, number one, the man, he might not want it, because you might confuse him even more. A man might have got alone with God, got with God, given him how to handle the situation, but the wife comes in, well, did you think about this? And then because he trusts her and loves her so much, it sends him into another tailspin and questioning what he may have already gotten from God. Because he loves his wife, and because he loves how she tries to walk with God. Brethren, these things are important. Abraham was a friend of God, and he got thrown into a tailspin because Sarah said, I can't have no kids. God's not bringing us no kids. Take Hagar, my servant, and let us have kids through her. And Abraham's like, yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. Let's go do this. And we're still suffering the consequences today. I think Abraham loved Sarah. I think Abraham valued Sarah's thoughts on things. But her thought on that was really wrong. Adam listened to the voice of his wife. Husbands, you must give an account. How many men through the years I've been saved, they'd be like, well, what, my wife? No! That's not going to hold up. Well, my wife? No, you. Well, my wife? No, you. You're allowing it. Don't blame it on your wife. At least be man and be like, yep, I'm doing it. I'm letting her do it, but I'm doing it. Well, my wife. No, it's not your wife. It's you. You're allowing it. Whatever it may be. Because you're going to have to give an account. The Bible says here that Adam listened to his wife. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll close with this verse here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We were just over here looking at the wife, women. Look at verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands. Coming to the husbands now. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. That word honor means to regard or treat with honor, esteem, and respect. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Now don't get mad at me. This is what the Bible says. As unto the weaker vessel. There's a difference between a man and a woman. What do you want me to say? I said this before, you put the strongest man, boxing man, in a boxing ring, and you get the best woman boxer there is out there, and you put her in the ring with him, he might kill her. And I'm not being mean when I say that. He might, if he punched her the right way, he might just kill her. A woman wasn't made to be in the boxing ring. And we're at a sick place in our society today where men and women can take pleasures of half-naked women in an octagon fighting one another. That's our society. We think we're better than Rome. No, we're no better than Rome. We're just like Rome. Yeah. We are just like Rome. Brother, I'm going to tell you this too. It's going to come pretty quick to where this society will like to see something on television where somebody dies. Just like the Colosseum days. In Rome, Colosseum days, they would put people down there to battle to the death. This was a few years back. This was a few years back. An individual news agency went around interviewing people on the street saying, would you pay to watch an event to where somebody died in the fight? And most people said yes. Hey, anybody ever hear of the movie Hunger Games? Brethren, our society is prepping our society to watch something where people die to the death, to where it's the last man standing. Others die and the last man makes it out. look at the movies that are out there and being put out there to prepare people's minds for a time not too here in the near distant future, to where I'm telling you, it's going to be allowed to where if people sign contracts that they would fight to the death. A wife, a woman, is a weaker vessel. But the Bible says this, that a husband is to dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I'm going to close with this here because it's 10:30. Not a lot of men base their decisions off of feelings. But women do. Women are given to feelings, which is wonderful. But it also can be a hurt as well. Well, I feel you're just being, no, so, no, no. Whereas a man is like, no, this is a decision, let's go forward with it. Okay? Honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, as, look what it says next, as being heirs together of the grace of life. For what purpose? That your prayers be not hindered. Do you see that? You say, well, God's not answering my prayers. Well, they just might be hindered. Because your home's upside down. The Bible says here to the man that he's to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. He's to give honor unto his wife. A man needs to realize that his wife is a weaker vessel and that they are heirs together of the grace of life. For what purpose? That their prayers are not hindered. Brethren, God set up the home. God set up the home. God set up the structure of the home. Men are to lead. The wives and women are to follow. One's not better than the other. One's not more spiritual than the other. But God has set up a structure and authority within that structure. And if we want things to go well, we want things for God to get in on them, we got to make sure we're doing it according to God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you continue to lead, guide, and direct. Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help me, dear God. I ask for your help, dear Lord. Lord, I do not say any of these things this morning maliciously. Lord, I don't say any of these things this morning arrogantly. But Lord, there is a correct order to things. And God, you are a Lord and a God of authority, and you've set it up that way. Lord, help us to live in the light of it. Help us to fulfill the roles that you've given us for your glory and for your honor. And we will thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother. Let's take a little break here. If any of the men would like to pray, I'll be in my office in about 5 minutes.